Before we begin, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, Thou who art our loving Father in heaven, we do give Thee thanks for the gathering of Thy children here in this place to have a time of spiritual retreat that we may be refreshed and strengthened by Thy word, and also to encourage one another to press on in the faith. Surely, O Lord, this place is Thy wonderful provision, and we want to ask of Thee that throughout this camp You will bless us richly with a wonderful time of fellowship around Thy word. And truly may we glorify Thee everything that we do. And now as we look into the sacred pages, Father, guide us and lead us. Indeed, Lord, without Thy Spirit's help, we will not be able to understand. So be with us, grant us illumination, and grant us a heart's conviction to believe all Thy words, that we will be obedient soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our humble cry. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen. I'm glad to see all of you here. This place where you are having the camp is a very nostalgic place for me. It's a place where I grew up when I was a youth. Not long ago, I was seated down here just like every one of you. Of course, not in Tabernacle, but in True Life BB Church. I believe most of the youth here, they all attend the Sunday school. I think you all have heard of the testimony given about this place. Now, I think it's a good time just to revise that. Pardon me if I'm a bit nostalgic, because it's been some time since I've been here. Right, so in the past, we used to have our young people's fellowship in True Life. Exactly like Ebenezer, except because the church was young, so there was a large gap between the older ones and the younger ones. But basically, average age would be people like all of you. And we used to have it in a member's house, but of course, over time, the strain of it was just too great. Really thanking God for that lady who opened up the house for us to use. So we were thinking, where shall we go? And so Berean BB Church says, well, you can come and use the place. Now Berean BB Church is, as you can see, this place is not a very huge place, but God uses those sometimes who the world may feel as small and weak, like to sometimes even bless churches which are larger. And Reverend Tan was very quick to open up this place. And now, if you are the host, right, usually you will use the place that is bigger. So this would, where you are sitting now, would be the common place where meetings are held. But you know, when we came here to use, we are from another church, we came here to use, instead of them using here, they went up, right, the place where you are sleeping right now, the boys where you are sleeping. And in that room where you are happily squeezing together, there they have their meetings. And then we are down here, right, we have our meetings, and then you know, when we have meetings, of course, right, when you talk about sound doesn't travel down so easily, sound travels up. So obviously they can hear us singing, they can hear the speaking all the time. Well, we must have inconvenienced them a lot. But never complain, always opening up the place for us week after week to use. And so I hope you all learn from this very good example. Over the years, I've been much blessed by how the Lord has used Reverend Tan to minister to us. And I hope that you all will learn from this very good example of charity. So next time when you all have visitors or whoever coming into Ebenezer, or whoever you all may meet along the way, right, extend that same loving hand to them. Right, and give them your best, right, not your second hand, right, just like how they gave us also the best. And I hope that y'all will keep this place nice and clean. And when y'all leave it better than how you first receive it. Don't anyhow open the door and spoil these things, okay? I know every camp sometimes, surely will have something break. Maybe this will be the first time we have the record. No breakage, okay? Also, Rachel will have less headache trying to find someone to repair and then to replace the thing. Right? So, try to be careful. I mean, of course, sometimes accidents do happen. But try your best to be careful, look after everything, and then at the end of camp, leave this place very clean, cleaner than how you first receive it. Right? And do it for the Lord's sake, and maybe I should be a bit bold, maybe also do it for my sake. Because I really have received much blessing from Berlin BB Church. So this was challenging for me. It's just quite some time I've been here. I'm very happy to be here. Because it reminds me of these good things, and also because I can see all of you. So, double blessing. Very good. Well, the topic for our consideration this evening, right, will be what it means to be brave. Right? The two series on, two messages on the series of the need to be brave. Be brave. And you may ask yourself, well, why is it so important to be brave? Is being brave, being courageous, necessary for a Christian? And the answer is yes. How do we know this? Right, turn with me to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Right, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. And here, God's word says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Right, so this will be the people that will not enter into heaven. This will be the people that will be eternally condemned. And you will realize that first in the list of these people are those who are fearful. Now, obviously, the fearful down here are not referring to those who fear God in a godly way, right, reverential way, whereby it leads them to abandon sin, to forsake sin, and then to embrace what is good and what is pleasing in the sight of God. Right, so we are not talking about the godly fear of God, but we are talking about those who are fearful, firstly, for standing with God, to stand with God, and also those who fear God in a manner like that of the devils. Right? Remember in the book of James, right, we have this description about devils. Well, they too believe in God, and they fear, and they tremble, and yet what does it lead them to do? Right? It leads them to continue to rebel against God. So not the kind of ungodly fear. So this will be the fearful that will enter into the lake of fire. And what this tells us is, you know, if we are Christians, right, we are citizens of heaven, the opposite must be true. Right, we must be brave, we must be courageous for Him. It is a trait of a saint. So someone who is very fearful of doing what is right, someone who is very fearful of doing what is godly, fearful for standing with the truth, fearful for standing with the God, with God, well, that is not a very good sign. So please understand that when we talk about bravery, it's not something that is optional. It's something that is necessary for every Christian to have. Godly bravery, true bravery. But the question is, what do we mean by bravery? Right. Well, this we can see right in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. Right. Here it says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Right, and so the key phrase here is, the Lord thy God is with thee in the east. And so this forms first the basis of bravery. And also, in a sense, it defines what true bravery is. Right? And by divine providence, just yesterday we heard the message that says, well, is God on your side? Yes, that is exactly what true bravery is. Now, when we talk about bravery, no, we are not referring to, you know, being brave, for example, to do something that, you know, threatens one's life. Recently, there is a trend on Facebook, isn't it? Facebook and videos, right? You have these people who like to do acts like going to the top of very tall buildings and then almost want to fall and then do all kinds of acts. And then you see already your heart want to jump, right? Have you seen those videos before? And what is in your heart? Well, these people are very brave. Or somebody walking across the Grand Canyon on just some rope, and without any safety precautions, and then he walk across. Wow, very brave. Yes? Well, that is not the kind of bravery that we are talking about here. In fact, this kind of bravery can be very foolhardy, right? Because you put your life at risk, especially as a Christian, put your life at risk, and then after that, when your life, and then you, what happens if you fall down from the grand, the top building? Just one slip, and then you end your life. Well, you lose a whole life of service and testimony for the Lord. It's just gone. What a wasted life. And you think people are going to see you on the top of the building, and it's going to be something that is very God-glorifying. It will be something that is very self-promoting, but not God-glorifying. So, understand this. Of course, please do not go to the extreme and say, well, we shouldn't take part in outdoor activities. Now, some of you here are very outgoing. You may want to take part in certain more vigorous sports. That is fine, right? Misha is an outward bound school expert. She climbs, she takes part in outdoor activities. Other than that, sometimes she avoids the crowds, but when it comes to that, she's very active. That is fine, right? And when she joins those activities, right? When you do rock climbing, you take safety precautions, yes, right? The adults recently went for the treetop challenge, well, they had to follow all kinds of safety precautions. Yeah, that is called wisdom. And then, in the proper context, when you have the activity, that is fine. You're not talking about doing all these things, putting your life at risk. That is not called bravery at all, right? That is called a person who is foolhardy. True bravery also does not mean that, we are brave or we are courageous to sin against God. That is also not true bravery. So a lot of people are very brave when it comes to standing against God, isn't it? You just look at the world today. Especially the homosexual movement, LGBTQ movement. Right now, no more LGBT. You must add the word Q because pure. Recently in America, there was one particular person who says, a professor who says, no, I'm neither male, I'm not female, I'm a hippo. Can you believe it? I'm not a male, I'm not a female, I'm a hippo. Yeah, clear. So his sex is called hippo. Ridiculous. But that is the world that we live in today. And people are very courageous when standing up for these things. Continue to promote this movement. Continue to stand with them. Continue to engage in these sins. They are very brave to do these things. Well, of course, as young people, you may not necessarily do these things. It could be other things, right? Other youthful lusts in which you are engaged in. Now you all know what these youthful lusts are. Whether it's in the ungodly boy-girl relationship. Of course, they are in God's proper time. When the time is right, God leads boy to like girl to like boy. Well, that is fine. We're talking about just getting together simply because of lust of the flesh. You know that it's evil, and the people express concerns for it, and your parents express concern for it, but you continue to do it. Or to go to certain places that are sinful, like pubs, discotheques. These kind of things, we are very brave. We know that it's wrong, but we are very brave. We want to wave a fist, not just at our parents or godly leaders, but more importantly, at God. We want to do these things. Now, that's not true bravery. That is also called a person who is foolhardy. It's silly. So understand this. On the other hand, if you walk in the ways that are pleasing unto God, and you exercise your faith and your trust in Him, then you, despite what the world says, and despite what the circumstances may be, right? Just like what we have down here, right, regards to the children of Israel, right? Bend down. Goest out to battle against thine enemies, right, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou. Yes, so this will be the weapons of the nations in those days. Right? Of course, today we don't have horses and chariots. Modern equivalents will be rifles, grenades, guns, nuclear bombs, this kind of modern weaponry. You are a tiny nation, Israel. Well, they have all these weapons, which you do not have, and you are small in number, so how? Then you begin to take in with your senses, and then you become very afraid of them. That is something that is very natural. And there are various different circumstances of life which should put us to the test. Are there things that make us afraid? I have things that make us afraid. I also have to fight against my fears. Sometimes these fears are not founded. These are times where you have to be you'll be tested. And sometimes when standing for the truth, right, you'll realize that yes, of course, when the man's way pleases the Lord in general, it's true that God makes even the enemies to be at peace with Him. But under certain special times, right, there will also be persecution. Remember, the godly in Christ Jesus will also suffer persecution. Right, the time will come because the world hates Christ. So when these circumstances arise, and your principles are put to the test, I'm so scared because my teacher is asking me to do something ungodly, something that is not right. For example, you are in a particular CCA, and then sometimes, especially with regards to arts, the CCA, they may ask you to sing or to do something that is wrong. My teacher asked me to cross-dress. Because in the world, a lot of people cross-dress, right? Jack Neo is one that cross-dressed. Remember last time he cross-dressed? Can you remember? Young Popo, right? That's called cross-dressing. It looks very funny, but it's actually an abomination before the Lord. In those days when I was a non-Christian, I keep laughing. Now I'm looking back, I can't even stand to see the sight of of him cross-dressing. And we have a few others in Singapore, they cross-dress. And sometimes the ladies also cross-dress as men. So, they begin to ask, will you cross-dress? You know in the Bible that is wrong. My teacher asked, if I don't ask, my teacher may persecute me. And some teachers may be like that. Or then the students may laugh at me. Everybody in the world is doing it. Why aren't you doing it? Oh, you mean you are part of that group that goes against the LGBT movement? Now you even dressing also, you can't. How? That is where, and there are many. You know, being afraid is normal, but that is where, right, the battle lies. You have to overcome these things, right? And so, start saying with Israel, that be not afraid of these enemies, for the Lord who is your God, right? That is exactly what you memorized just now, right? Now, of course, that particular verse has to do with backsliding, and God willing, Reverend Koshi in the morning messages will be speaking to you on these things. What is said down there, right? The Lord is our God, right, also applies in this particular context. That is a very important statement. The Lord, right, who is the covenant-keeping God of Israel, of which they have a personal relationship with, do you also have a personal relationship with Him? I hope so, right? And if you do, then the Lord is your God, right? It's not just the Lord, the God. Right? Because if it's the Lord, the God, now, of course, the emphasis will be this, that Jehovah is also God Almighty, so He has power to deliver, has power to save, and there is nothing that is outside of His control. But very importantly, it says the Lord is your God, and because He has this relationship with you, you are His child, and He is your Heavenly Father, and because you are walking in ways that are pleasing unto Him, well, of course He will be with thee, isn't it? You ask which parent won't be with, which good parent won't be with the child? Earthly parent won't be with the child if the child is, well, let's say, well, sometimes we have cases whereby in schools, right, you have certain students who are being ill-treated, and then they are being bullied, or they are being framed, when actually they have stood up for righteousness. Well, when the parents know about it, do you think they will say never mind? Of course not never mind, right? They will want to be with their child. They want to stand by them. They want to make sure that their child is protected, and for good reason, isn't it? Well, if that is true of earthly parents, but what more about our Heavenly Father? You think He will just simply forsake and then let you go? And that is something that requires a faith on our part. And not just faith on our part, but exercise of faith, but also good understanding and doctrine. You know, it's something that's actually very simple. And yet, it is the circumstances of life that will put our this understanding to the test, to see whether it is something that is truly deep and well-grounded. And I must say, though, that there are times where I feel too, it's something that I needed to do, but I still feel it. But nevertheless, it's exactly what is necessary in the life of a Christian. So firstly, you need to ask yourself, okay, since this is what true bravery is, and the basis of why I can be brave is because the Lord, my God, is with me, then let me check myself first. Am I firstly with God? Right, that is very important. Am I firstly with God? And is God with me? And that is the question. Are my ways pleasing unto Him? And so actually, right, this whole session of bravery is also very much related to what you are going to study in the morning. If you are backsliding, one of the first few things you'll find is that there will be no true bravery in your life. No true bravery. Yes, you may have bravery in terms of sinful things, yes. But when it comes to standing for the truth, when it comes to standing in ways that are holy, ways that are just, you will fear. And you will not want to have anything to do with these things. Why? Because you know that the Lord is not with you. You know that. You know that in order to be brave in these situations, you first will have to return to God. But because now you are walking in sin and the Lord is not with you, so therefore faced with the various difficult circumstances in life whereby your faith is put to the test, you are not brave to confront these things, because what is necessary for you to overcome all these obstacles is not there. God is not with you. So whatever you hear in the morning, please understand, that is important. That is the first step. Address first your life. Make sure you are with God. And when you are with God, the Lord will help you, as what is stated in verses 2 to 4. Right? And it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle, and that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Okay, very interestingly, it's not the military commander. Okay? Not the captain. In fact, the captain will be appointed where? A captain will be appointed later. Right? All the captains, right? So not the military commander, not the general, but the priest. Why the priest? Right? Because the priest is the one who is appointed by God, ordained by God to be the mediator between the children of Israel as well as God. Right? And he would therefore represent God's word, God's truth, and the presence of God. And so, the priest will first come, and acting as God's spokesman, he will speak to the people and say unto the children of Israel, "Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them." Right? You see down here, very interestingly, four words to do with fear. Firstly, the word faint, right, which means become tender. And here, tender where? Tender in terms of the heart. So it all begins in the heart first. Sometimes people look at you, you may present a very calm face, you may present a very steady disposition, but actually in the heart, there's a lot of fear. So first, what is in your heart when it's tender-hearted? Cling on to God's word, cling on to God's truth, cling on to God's presence, address what is in your heart. Because if you do not address what is in your heart, very soon it will become very visible expressions of fear. Right? That will be the second word, fear. Right? People can see. Okay? Then what will happen? You will start to tremble. I hear tremble means because of what is in your heart. Now he has taken hold of you. The first inclination is you want to run away from the scene. Right? That's the word tremble down here. You want to make haste, run away. And then after that, you become terrified. Terrified is the worst. Terrified would be a person so scared until you cannot run. Have you been like that before? So scared until you do not know what to do. You are just paralyzed. Cannot move. Like I remember the first time I went on stage. That's what happened to me. I went there, suddenly my whole mind went blank. Do not know what to do. You ever had that experience before? Yes? Huh? Jaywin have not? No, huh? No wonder in drama. Last time when I, frozen. I remember when I went for army the first time, you know, because I did not know God. Then I'm very poor with technical things, so I had to strip the rifle. See the rifle. One, how long? Two, oh, now it's the Star 21. No more exit. 30 seconds. Mine, I think 45 seconds. I think so. I see the thing, I just freeze, so I cannot even start, you know. Right, so just frozen. Right, or maybe you see a certain teacher walk in and then, and the teacher asks you to answer. Hold my blank, right? That's the word down here, terrified. Right? Then your whole face turns white, all the color drain. And people look at you, you look like as white as the wall down here in Berlin Church, right? The walls are very white, and they maintain very well. White on your face, no color at all. That is the word terrified. So here the whole idea is before you want to, you don't even come to this particular state of fear. You make sure first, right, in your own heart, when it's tender, you address it. Okay? And you address it by clinging on to this truth that the Lord is with you, right? He goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and then to save you and then to deliver you. Right, which we have seen, right? Especially with respect to Jehoshaphat, right? Yeah, just yesterday. How the Lord was very merciful to Jehoshaphat, very gracious to him also, granted him victories, granted him peace among his enemies. The Lord was with him. Okay, so understand this. And then the other thing that we need to understand is this, okay? Now, here in verse 5, it says, right? And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, right, what man is there that have built a new house and have not dedicated dedicated it, let him go and return to his battle, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. Now, please, do not, like all the young people here later when you grow up, and then later you finish your national service, please never take this verse and then say, oh, now I have excuse not to go for my call-up, or if the nation requires me to fight, I will not fight. Okay, yes, Joshua. Okay, but Joshua wants to go in, reserve some other one. Wow, then, wow, so nice, so good, huh? But still far away, maybe Pohau will do it. Anisha, can teach Pohau later. Right, when you see him, Pohau. And next time, if have BTO, built to order, right? In Singapore, it's built to order houses. You don't know what is built to order, children? Youth, yes? No? Built to order, you don't know, Singapore, you must go to HDB and then you ballot number and then the house still not yet building. Okay, then you go and build. After that, you will start building. That's why you CBD, right? CBD, at one point of time, he has the number, he put his down payment, but all he has is some air in the sky. That is his home. That's called built to order. Okay. I cannot go to battle. Right? So maybe Pohau will say, I cannot go to battle. You know why? Because my house still not yet formed. It's still air in the sky. So I cannot go to battle. Now that is Singapore context. Okay. Now this one here, you have to see in regards to Israel, which is a spiritual nation. Okay, spiritual nation. So what is the Lord trying to say down here? But a man has a new house, has not dedicated it, let it go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And then the same goes for the vineyard. Now, to understand it, let us look at further on, right? The context will explain it for us. Right, then verse 7, it tells us, and what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. Okay, we will see what it means by that. But verse 8 will be the key. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Your heart within you has melted. Then let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's hearts faint as well as his heart. In other words, if you really fear in your heart, and then you cannot find courage in yourself to go and fight this battle, and this battle is the Lord's battle, then please go. Why? Because the Lord does not need you to win this battle. In fact, the Lord does not need any one of us to win his battle. It is our privilege to be involved in the battle for him as a soldier of Christ. Our privilege. He can do it on his own. It's just that he finds it fit to use, you know, weak vessels such as us to be testimonies of him to fight these spiritual battles against the wickedness in high places. That's not in us. So therefore, if you fear, and we know that fear can be very contagious, right? If you just imagine a whole group of people go for battle and then just one person wants to turn back and run. Worse if it's the commander, the captain, or the captain, right? And everybody will be affected, right? The battle could be lost. So here the Lord says, no, I don't need every man in Israel. Don't need every man in Israel. Even with a few, I can also save. Even with none, I can also save. So therefore, if you are afraid, please go back home. I don't need you. Very simple. Go back home. Don't affect the rest of the people. You go back home. What I need is courageous soldiers in a fight. Okay, so that will be the context down here. So, looking at this, you go back to verses 1, 5 and 6. What is the Lord trying to teach us? Basically, it is this. Okay, now, you just had your house, and then you cannot eat the fruit of your labor. And then now you are called to fight in a particular battle. Now, if your mind is so distracted, because I have not eaten of the fruit of the labor, of my labor. Now, if your mind is so distracted by this, then please, go back. I don't need anybody who is distracted, anybody who is entangled with the cares of this world. You go back. Now, it is something that is really ridiculous in some sense, right, to have as a permission, isn't it? Nevertheless, the Lord permitted it to to emphasize a point, right? No one is to be distracted. If you want to fight, please don't be distracted by anything. And moreover, with regards to the children of Israel, and also with regards to us, we must never forget that everything that we have, right, your house, your vineyard, is it not first given to you by the Lord? Right, the Lord was the one who is going to give Israel the land, and when they dwell in the land, they're going to be allotted certain parcels of land over there. And then the Lord will be the one who bless them with houses, with vineyards, with sheep, with cattle. Everything that they have is by the Lord. They are just stewards of what the Lord has given to them. And so therefore, actually what he's saying down here is ridiculous. His whole mind is just fully focused on the cares of the world, of enjoying the fruits of his hand. Now if therefore a person has this kind of mindset, then please, you are not worthy to fight the Lord's battle, you go back. You don't take part. Because the Lord does not need such soldiers. Does not need such soldiers. Similarly, even the verse 7. Now this one is more understandable. Nevertheless, it's cited here to emphasize to what extent we must be focused in the fight for the Lord. Right? You look at verse 7. What man is he, or what man is there, that have betrothed a wife and have not taken her? Now, remember Mary and Joseph in the New Testament, in the Gospels, Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph, you all know who, right? You all look with me with the blank face. Let's get Mary and Joseph, you all know, right? Okay, Mary and Joseph. Now remember, after a while, Mary was found with child, and then Joseph wanted to put her away privily. Right, that particular incident, that is a very good incident to allow us to understand the seriousness of what it means for a man to be betrothed to a wife. Because in those days, when a man is betrothed to a wife, there is this engagement. It's not like today. Now, today, somebody can give you a ring that is $5,000 and then give it to you and say, will you please marry me? Okay? Then ask Miranda, how much is the ring? Okay. See, how much is this one? Okay, the price of the of being engaged. Then, and then after that, we go all the way, even until 1 week before the consummation of the marriage or walk down, you can say, oh, sorry, I don't want to be married, and then they can break off the marriage. But in those days, especially with regards to the children of Israel, they are very serious. If they say, this man is betrothed to this wife, it is as good as almost husband and wife, only waiting to the final day where they will have the consummation of the marriage, and then their wedding festivities, very elaborate, can be as long as 1 week to 14 days, many stages. One part at the father-in-law's house, then after that, they bring the bride all the way to the groom's house. Right? That's why you have the parable of the 10 virgins, remember? 5 wise, 5 foolish. Okay? So, very serious, this whole betrothal process. Now, it so happened that this man is betrothed to the wife. Now, the marriage hasn't been consummated, and then suddenly he goes to battle. In his heart, he may say, what happened if I die? If I die, then my wife belongs to somebody else, right? Will not belong to my family. So how? Right? And so, if you have that kind of worry, this distracts you, please don't go also. Now, of course, you may say that, you know, this is a very real worry. It's true. And I believe many of the men would also struggle with this worry. But then you think about it. Who is the one who initiated the battle? Remember, this battle is a legitimate battle. This battle is where the Lord will be with them. Okay, we're not talking about battles that are sinful, battles which is according to the own wishes of the children of Israel. The Lord is the one who says, go and fight, and you are now going to fight. If the Lord has called you to fight, if He has truly enabled you to be betrothed to this wife, would He not therefore, or to this woman, would He not therefore make sure that this process will all go through? Isn't it? And all, let's say even in the process, He takes you home, then that is the Lord's will. That is the Lord's will. And once the Lord takes you home, you are in a far better place. So therefore, in your heart, if your heart is still entangled, even to the extent of your family, you are not suitable to be in the fight of the Lord. Because a distracted warrior, a distracted soldier, will not be a brave soldier. Once the enemy comes, once he is put to the test, he thinks about his cares at home, his cares in the family, he will become frightened. He will become frightened. And that is why the same principle is applied by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Are you turning with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2? Now, of course, this is to young Timothy, who is the pastor, who must be the first person to embrace this teaching. Nevertheless, this is also true for all of us, because all of us are called to be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Right, so you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. Right, this will be a very good restatement of what we have just read just now. Right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says down here, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Then verse 4 says, "No man that entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. He must be fully focused on the battle, fully focused on his training. Now, whether you are a soldier, whether you are an athlete, this is true, isn't it? Some of you here play soccer. There's a track and field lady down here. There is one who is learning physical education down here. There's one judo. Yes, judo. Judo, right? Can you eat anything? Are you allowed to drink 2 cans of Coke a day? Or judo means maybe different. Ask wrong person. But how about all those in soccer? Cannot. 2 cans of. Cannot lah, really ah.
Depends.
What the coach ask you lah. So you must follow a certain disciplined diet, right? Cannot eat what you want, right? Otherwise, come to the match, cannot even run, right? See? Same, track and field can eat anything lah. Cannot, fish and chips cannot. UK got very nice fish and chips though. You go to UK, the fish and chips, you don't want to come back to Singapore. What now I see the fish and chips, I don't want to eat already. Can I? Next time go UK, fish and chips can? I cannot run. Yeah, must be very disciplined, no distraction. Once you are distracted, obviously when the match happens, you fear because you know you are not in the condition to race, not in the condition to play, not in the condition to compete. A soldier also the same. Right? You cannot just eat what you want and then just like you want what you want. No distractions, that is a battle to fight, just concentrate. Same with regards to us. For them, of course, physical battles, but of course their physical battles, understand, is also spiritual in nature. For us, we too have our battles to fight, but our battles different. But it will be the battles as we have mentioned just now. Now, if we are distracted in our walk with Christ, do you think we can fight all these battles? And so therefore, you need to ask yourself, if I want to be brave first, let me check, are there distractions in my life that is pulling me away from Christ? Distractions that are preventing me to fight this battle well. If there are all these distractions, then I must make sure that now I focus my eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and walk rightly with Him, that He is with me. And so look at your life. Are there distractions in your life? And there can be many things that distract us, isn't it? The most common one, of course, would be entertainment. That's why you have an entertainment workshop. Like, I think, who is conducting? Po Hao, is it? Yeah, Po Hao will be conducting. Entertainment workshop. Yeah. Entertainment. And certain things may, well, you know that certain entertainment is already sinful. Like, that will already... That will really mean you are brave in the wrong things. Now, even if they are good and godly, or there is nothing wrong in those forms of entertainment, but if you are addicted to it, it distracts you from your main calling. And most of you, your main calling here is to be what? To be students, and also whatever the Lord has placed you to serve in church, calling to be Ebenezer members. calling to be testimonies for Christ wherever you are, in your families or in school. If these things will pull you away from a good and proper witness, then why are you hanging on to these things? Why are you hanging on to these things? Why are you hanging on to these games? Give them up. Seriously, give them up. And dear young people, especially, you know, those who in secondary school and then after that going to tertiary institutions, and then the higher you go, the more distractions there are. Including things like CCAs, camps, places of recreation where your friends will bring you to. These are distractions. Anything wrong with CCA? No, nothing wrong. You take one or two. Now, if let's say they don't distract you from your studies, okay, fine. If they are preventing you from serving properly in Christ, preventing you from doing well in your studies, then you are a distracted soldier, and very soon you are not going to be brave for him. Because you're going to be brave in the wrong things. You're going to be brave in those things that are preventing you from fighting well. And then when the battle comes, scared. Scared why? Because now you're distracted. You have not done your part to revise well your human responsibility. Now faced with all the questions, you know you can pray how hard the Lord will help you, but you are not well prepared of how to be brave. Of course you are scared. Right? Distractions. Distractions. So yeah, what are your distractions in life? What are those things that entangle you? Even some things that may not look legitimate into the world, well, give them up. Especially concerned with all those in tertiary institutions. I've been looking for quite some time, not just in Tabernacle, for in general in the large since last time. But please be very careful with the kind of activities that you go in, because my experiences with all these activities is very, very often they involve things that are that will take up a lot of your time. And not only that, but a lot of these activities are downright ungodly. This includes, in JCs, for example, the mass dances. Some of the mass dances really cannot dance. Because you look at the moves, they already promote sexual connotations. You cannot dance. But I don't dance all these mess dance. The people are going to that's the test of bravery. Oh, yeah, you straight jacket, and then if you have especially specs, and then you don't comb every 20 and everyone, you nerd. That will be the test of bravery. That is the real courage you have to show. No, I'm going to stand firm. I'm not going to take part. I'm not going to take part. Oh, please come on all these late night gathering. And of course, some of these friends, they ask you, some are not Christian, but they may be very nice, very, very kind friends. Sure. But you know that you go for such activities or whatever, they are not going to help you to do well for the Lord, then why are you going there? Why are you going there? Do you have the bravery to tell them, to say, look, I'm a Christian, I want to be fully focused on God, and with regards to these activities, it's not that I don't want to go out with you, I believe there will be another time. For the time being, I want to be focused to do what I ought to do right now, right, for the Lord. Next time, maybe I go with you. Or if the places go really, really ungodly, just say, I am a Christian, I cannot go these places. The answer in God's will is straightforward. It's only a matter of whether or not we are brave to take that stand. So, dear young people, that is what it means to be brave. And our prayers for all of you is that, you know, slowly as you mature and just as you grow up, you will learn how to take this kind of stand for the Lord. It's not just on paper, right? It's really in terms of our life. And when you are with the Lord, that's what was taught yesterday. Yeah, the Lord will bless you. But you must be brave, right? And you can be brave. Every right to be brave, because the Lord is with you. So may the Lord grant you, right, this growth in maturity, growing the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do give thee thanks for the teaching of thy sacred will. Lord, we know that there can be many times where we have failed thee, but we also know that thou art the God who desires our children to return, and indeed there is forgiveness always with thee. You are always ready to bless those who love thee and are willing to follow thee. And so, Lord, we ask that this will be true in our lives, and especially in the lives of these young people, from this group of young men and women. You will raise up those who are able to stand in the gap, to be the captains of thy people, to be future leaders that will indeed serve thee faithfully for the extension of thy kingdom. So help, O Lord, and bless thy children richly as we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.